Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 4, beginning does not want to open up at all there. Chapter 4 begins the section of Joshua that we're all pretty well familiar with, I think. It starts talking about memorial services. Memorial stones. And starting in verse 1, it says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones out of here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and laid them down there in the place where you lodge tonight. Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, and he appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord, for God, press on before the ark of the Lord, you and God, into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. We go on later in chapter 4, where it mentions that in verse 9, Joshua sets up the 12 stones and makes an altar there. And remember, they also were not to take anything of the spoils of Jericho. And that's the story about Achan. And they count, there goes through that a couple of times here. And when that was all done, it was undone because of Achan and his sin. And it tells us that in verse 7, where he shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. This is referring back, of course, to the children of Israel crossing over the Red Sea as they came out of, or before they came out of Egypt. And let's drop down to verse 21. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, What do these stones mean? And that's our thrust of our lesson primarily this morning. What do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did, at the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. different translations inserted little different words, but not appreciably that different. But what I want us to look at is, what do these stones mean? They had a meaning, but to those that were present there, it seems like they didn't have any idea what was happening. And as we go through it, we see the plan unfolding for God's people, and so that all the people will know when they see that, what does this mean? In generations to come from this point, they had been told what it was and what kind of a memorial this was. So they dedicated these 12 stones as Joshua built an altar there. You probably, like me, have been to different openings of big things, grand and glorious things, as the world looks at them. And sometimes you're asked to lead in prayer or something like that. Most of the time, when we go to some kind of a dedication, it means to devote one as sacred. Well, when we declare the purpose of a thing, it's set apart. So the things that are being dedicated are set apart for God, so that they'll know what all these things were happening. But the building itself, like this building, was not that way. It wasn't obvious to the passerby. So there was a declared purpose for which it was set apart, to remind the children of Israel how God had been with them and led them across the Jordan. And it wasn't the children of Israel that did all of that. They had their part, but God had his part, and it was basically God's doing that showed the purpose for this altar being set apart. In First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Go back to verse 1 as we start the reading here. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk or pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, elect and precious. So, now turn back to First Peter chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. Should have just quoted it and not bothered giving you time to turn to it, but in verse 15, this is First Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, it says there, but if I tarry or am delayed, I will will write to you, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We see here a purpose for the dedication. As Christians, he's going to avoid a lot of things that are going to bring condemnation to him and maybe all of Israel, or all, every Christian. And so we see that this was not an end in itself, but rather it was a means to the end. And so what did these stones mean? What do they mean to you and I today? There's a monument there as we turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 about grace. By grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. So there's a monument of grace that comes to you and I, all of us, every day, that we can be reminded by when we see that the scriptures opened or the Bible laying where you normally lay it as you read it daily, those kinds of things. There's a monument as you open the scriptures, that there's a monument to the truth of the gospel. Not a bunch, I've got one whole 2-foot shelf that is just nothing but denominational teachings, I guess we could say. Every teaching is set apart, set aside. And we need to recognize those things as they do occur in our life. And so we see the monument to grace and truth. We also see a golden opportunity to greater things to be presented. There may be things that in our life are not present even today. We may see a stepping stone. You know, before you get in someone's house, oftentimes instead of a sidewalk, it would be just a stepping stone. Those things, maybe they were brought to play when they were getting something there that was to be presented in the future, and maybe in the future for us even. So we see that we have those stepping stones, and they would be higher, on a higher plane. Let's see. I had these marked. I knew this Bible has problems holding on page to another. But in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we see there, and then also in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, and his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from between you and your God, in your sins have been, and your sins are hidden from your face from you, so that he does not hear, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue mutters wickedness. So all of those things would be similar to what we've been talking about. What do these stones mean? What does this altar mean? Obviously it was an altar that people recognized that, but they didn't get the connection. It had to be explained to them. So we have monuments to the grace of God, monuments so far as the truth of the gospel. And as we look at all of chapter 4, we see golden opportunities. Do we have golden opportunities today in our life? Of course we do. We just sometimes maybe not really looking for those things as maybe we could be, because those things that are presented later for us, maybe even today, presents itself as a golden opportunity as they are presented to us. Maybe it's to teach someone the truth. Go back to those stepping stones. Stepping stones will mark the way for you, and you can be aware of those things, and they'll be made known to the people of Israel or to Christians. And they'll be used as a stepping stone or a springboard to the future and the work that the church has to do. A grave challenge to have deeper convictions as they're presented in our daily lives. Sometimes we see them quickly, sometimes not so quickly. And so there's a challenge to do the work that God has given us to do, a challenge to work harder, a challenge to work together, a challenge to save souls, because that's our work today. It's all of those things that we need to accept the challenges of God to save souls. And it gives us, those things gives us causes for rejoicing. And we talk about setting goals in secular field where there's all kinds of things like that where goals are set in place. And we try to reach for those goals, and sometimes we reach those goals as we're looking at God's Word and looking into all that He has done for us and all that He says. And so there's times for great rejoicing and the sense of accomplishment, or that a goal has been reached. Greater goals lie ahead. Have you ever... You've read, I'm sure, the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm sure that you'll recognize it as soon as we read it. It says, how do you know what this is talking about? Esther, Mordecai, and Mordecai. And her uncle, Esther's uncle, how do you know whether thou art come here into the kingdom for such a time as this? She was there at a particular time because God put her there. And she looked at all of those things that she had opposition for, that she had to face those things, and but this was especially for her, that is Esther, as she would look at the prophecies and fulfilling those opportunities, that they might be presented to different individuals, and others would not come to know, of course. Chapter 4 and the account there, what was happening. And so this morning, if you're here and need to make things right, do what God says do, look for those things in our life that sometimes we don't really pay close attention to. And will you come and respond as we sing the song that's been selected?